You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
I had an itchy anus and I figured out why. And it's the reason that your butt issues is the same thing. When you smoke weed, everything gets dried out, like your eyes, your mouth. You know, they talk about cotton mouth. I think there's something about anuses being itchy. There's a dryness there.
Yeah, I've had itchy anus before.
From weed? Probably from can?
No, not from weed. Just an itchy anus. It's uncomfortable to talk about sex, but sometimes it's important to get uncomfortable. Sex Talk with My Mom is the best mom-son podcast about sex.
It's the only one as well.
My mother is a cougar.
My son is a clown.
In a nutshell, my dad died, so my mother decided to create a YouTube channel all about sex, like all mothers do.
And then my son decides to use my material in his stand-up comedy routines.
And thus, Sex Talk with My Mom was born. Welcome to Sex Talk with My Mom. I'm Cam Potter.
And I'm Karen Lee Potter.
We're chatting about sex twice a week, once on Thursdays with a guest, and once on Mondays with our favorite listeners.
And each other.
And each other.
Yeah.
Answering listener questions.
Oh, yeah.
Reflecting on the week. This past week, we had Sierra Lynch on the show, who is a humiliatrix.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys have had a chance to listen to Sierra, that episode we did, but it's really fascinating. And I was just wondering about it, Cam. What did you learn from that? About yourself specifically.
Before we jump into that, not everyone knows what a humiliatrix is.
Good point.
So I just wanted to explain. A humiliatrix is someone who dominates, like a dominatrix, with her or his words as opposed to chains or whips.
But it's also someone who gets paid for that.
Oh, of course. Yes. And yes, we are recording on CastBox. So join us there if you haven't yet. Okay. So, responding to your question about what were my thoughts on the Sierra Lynch episode, I thought it was an incredible way of getting under the hood of what that type of work looks like. And it did raise a question of, like, you know, if you're humiliating someone, is that inherently bad? Or if it's for their arousal, could it be good?
This is what I was thinking.
And what did you come to conclude?
That I think it takes a certain type of person who can get past the yucking of your yum.
Yes. And ultimately, I agree with one of our listeners, Nathaniel. Nathaniel wrote in, I've also engaged in humiliation during scenes at the dungeon. As long as someone is consenting and it's what they want, then why not, right? We teach that sort of thing in classes at the dungeon. I did a public scene there once where my play partner beat me up so bad I couldn't put my jeans back on over my red and purple swollen hips at the end of the night. His husband had to stop someone from trying to step in and save me. I'm so glad he did, though. I was having fun, and I would have been so sad if someone interrupted us. Okay. Yeah. So I'm of the belief that if you're not hurting someone else and it's for your own arousal, I'm fully on board. Why not?
Well, yeah, I guess so. But I just can't do it myself.
Yeah, maybe is that what turns you on?
No, I'm saying I can't. I told you, I had someone ask me to humiliate them and I couldn't do it.
I also thought it was interesting that, you know, this was not a turn on for her to be this humiliatrix. It was mainly just for money.
Oh, totally.
Very interesting.
A lot of money.
Yeah, but at the dungeon, I imagine it's both parties are getting some arousal from it. Otherwise, because there's no,
well, if there's no money,
financial transaction. Anyway, that was a fun one.
Mm-hmm.
Lisa said she can get in the mood for the right price. And AJ asked, did you go have a session, Cam? No, I did not. I don't think that would be up my alley to have a session with the humiliatrix.
No, I actually asked a question on Instagram of how many people are subs or doms. It was an overwhelming amount. Like I would say like 80% were subs. Only 20% or so were actually wanting to be the doms.
You missed out on the category of switch.
I know, because I wanted to put switch. I did think about that, but they didn't have a little category for that in my yes or no polls.
Oh, man.
I mean, I could have done it a different way.
Instagram just doesn't understand the intricacies of Sex Talk with My Mom.
They don't.
They don't have the solutions
that
we need.
They should put a third option to add on to that poll.
You know, because there are a lot of people doing these polls about subs or doms, and they don't expect that the switch, they don't, they're not taking into consideration the switch is all I'm saying.
Yes, exactly.
So do you want to give a little update on what you've been up to? You had an interesting little weekend.
I did.
What's going on there?
Well, I went to a last minute concert of the California Honey Drops.
I don't know. You found this band and you just fell in love with them.
Yeah. I got obsessed with them.
Yeah, you did. As if you had been playing this all of your life.
Yes. And anyway, so I said to Deez, hey, I love this band. I wish I knew when they're coming into town. And he's like, they're coming this Saturday night.
Isn't that weird?
Isn't that weird? So it was meant to be.
Isn't that weird?
That's called Beshert. And that's in Yiddish. Beshert means fate.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the reason I bring this up is because we did have an excellent time. But when I realized that we got to this really cool venue called the Terragram, which is an old ballroom they converted, I think, 4 years ago. Terragram ballroom. Anyway, it's all the general admission, which I knew, okay? But I did not realize it's all standing.
Mm.
So in other words, you get there, the opening act is at 9, the Honey Drops don't come on until like 10:15, and they play like two huge sets that are like an hour and a half each. So you end up being there till like almost 1 in the morning. There is no way I can stand in this mob of people. I didn't have enough drugs in me to be able to do that. And he even mentioned like, oh, this is a long set. Hope you're doing the right drugs.
Oh, wow.
He said, you can go out and get some.
This is so, Deez or the actual musician saying this?
The musician.
Because I mean, could see Deez saying that as well.
Yeah, but Deez wasn't, both of us were fairly straight, actually. Both of us forgot to bring weed.
Because you're probably too high from the weed from dinner or something.
It's possible. No, I only had like one hit like 3 hours earlier. Which
so you literally were that. You were so high.
It wasn't that high. I had one hit. One.
That is hilarious.
Okay. Well, anyway, we get there and I realize that this is going to be a problem for me because I have a hip issue, as you know.
Of course. Who doesn't realize I have a hip issue?
And what happened was I just decided to take my 5-4-3-2-1.
Oh, God.
Initiative. And I said, is there any seating at all? And they said, upstairs in the VIP area. I go, well, can I get up there? And the guy's going, do you have a badge? I go, no. And I said, but I do have a really bad hip. And he goes, okay. Do you have any in other words, I said, do they have any like handicap seating or anything up there?
Oh my God, and going to handicap.
Do you have any like identification as being handicapped? I said, no, I'm not handicapped. I just have a bad hip and I'm 61 years old and I will not be able to stand for 3.5 hours.
Oh, wow.
And what can you do? And I batted my eyelashes and he came back.
I batted my eyelashes and my bad hip.
I pulled it out. I pulled out all the stops and I got him to say, okay, come on up. We went up VIP seating area. Another old cocker couple was up there with us.
You found your people.
And they were up there because their kids had bought them tickets for this and must have realized that kids were followers of the Honey Drops, like major, major followers. I guess this type of band has acquired major followers because they're so fun.
All right. So you're giving a little 5 stars to the Honey Drops.
5 stars. They had 2 saxophone players, a clarinet.
At this point, this is not contributing.
Okay. Well, anyway, it was a fun night, and I was very happy to be able to sit for the majority of it. You don't get that same feel as when you're in the rage crowd, but it's a give and take.
This is supposed to be an entertaining show, correct?
Are you saying that this conversation wasn't entertaining at all?
This is the same feeling I get when I hear people talking about their dreams or...
I love hearing about people's dreams.
People you don't know?
Yes.
No.
No?
No.
This is just people know who I am.
I'm just saying, we don't even know about the saxophonist or the trombonist.
I do.
Who gives a flying fuck?
And he plays, the lead singer plays a trumpet.
Another detail I don't think anyone needs.
Moving on. How was your weekend, son?
I'll tell you some details.
Mr. Clown attendee.
No, I'll tell you some details. I had a wonderful week this past week, mainly because I saw 2 doctors on one day. One doctor told me I have GERD, or bad acid reflux. I've diagnosed myself as GERD, which I think is a much more substantial thing.
Okay.
The other, I will say this. I sent my first dick pic.
You sent a dick pic to the guy with the doctor with GERD?
I sent my first dick pic ever to my dermatologist via the Kaiser Permanente app that is shown to many, like all of his nurses get to see.
Everybody wants to see your dick. First of all, let's start at the beginning. Do you know how much you were perseverating on all these issues for so long?
Got an STD test as well, by the way, which is always thrilling despite rarely having any sexual interaction whatsoever.
Okay.
Came back negative for chlamydia and gonorrhea. I haven't heard about the rest.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear this.
Yep. Thank you.
Let's go back. First of all, what was the first doctor you saw? And
first doctor,
let's talk about
was a doctor who didn't want me there.
Okay, let's.
They never want me there.
I wonder why. I wonder how much anxiety you put me through.
You know why?
Leading up to this,
because they do the diagnostic. They say, okay, you have acid reflux. It's affecting your throat. And then I say,
you didn't even tell people like who have not listened. Well, this is the first time for a lot of people. They don't know that you had any issues with your throat. So why
did
you
got it from the context clues? I've been having some throat issues.
And you've been...
I went to the doctor. I said, what's going on with the throat issues?
I thought it was meningitis or something.
Yeah, when I lay down at night, I feel like my whole stomach is coming into the top of my chest. So something's going on there. And he's like, yeah, this is acid reflux. And then I proceed to hammer him with questions.
Did he say, take some Tums and go home?
Yeah, he offered me Prilosec. But then he goes, you have acid reflux. And I go, okay, I know that's the diagnostic, but can we just go through a couple other scenarios that might be the case and just tell me why you chose not? A, cancer. Is this cancer of the throat? B, was this a thyroid issue? C, could this be some form of STD that got contracted in my throat? I went down the list.
Sounds like a whole gamut. And where did you come up with all these things? You did heavy Google research.
Of course. Okay. At this point, I know all of WebMD front to back. I don't need to.
There's no need to even Google anymore. You came in with your list.
I have a medical degree from WebMD.
I understand because I have one as well because I was a shaman in a prior life.
Oh my God. I told you that
it was acid reflux. I did say that.
And then I was also convinced.
So you didn't need to go to the doctor.
Thank you. I also think it's related to anxiety too.
There's no question.
Okay.
This is the family of complete anxious.
So we got that shit taken care of.
So wait, what happened when you gave him the list?
He got really impatient with me and basically said, no, 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 no. And then like they start doing this thing where they keep talking to me as they edge their way out of the door. Like,
take a hint.
Yeah, they're like, okay, this conversation needs to end. So I'm just going to keep getting closer and closer and closer to the door.
And how did you feel when he was getting closer and closer to the door?
At this point, I'm numb to it. I know they don't want to be there. I don't want to be there either, but we're here, so it's going to have to happen, and I'm going to give you the fucking complaints and the neuroses and the anxiety. At this point, you should be recommending I see a therapist. And
but you know what's so funny is that nobody goes to the doctor to tell about how great they've been feeling.
Yeah.
If you don't walk in the doctor and say, he's like, oh, what are you here for? Oh, I just want to tell you that I'm in a great mood and I want to say hello.
Yeah.
Nobody goes to the doctor.
No
so
way.
Everybody that goes into that room is complaining and kvetching about something.
Yeah. Well, then... So, I feel guilty about going to these doctors because I know I waste their time.
That's the bad part about it. You told me that. You said, I don't think I should go because I'm wasting your time. You go because you want to feel better emotionally, physically, whatever. So you have to get in there and have. And what if one day you hear something bad? Is that going to make you happy because you didn't waste his time?
Well, I mean, I was grateful I went. But, you know, obviously every time that they're inching their way out the door, it does not make you feel like they want to really be there with me.
Like back in the day, by the way,
yeah,
your grandfather would spend hours talking to each patient.
It's very sweet.
And that's the kind of doctor he was. He would make house calls where he'd go in the middle of the night to your house and waste people and have people waste his time in the middle of the night.
Was he paid by the hour?
No. I'm sure he was not. He was paid by the visit.
All right.
And I'm sure your doctors are paid by the visit too. Hence, them wanting to leave the room as quickly as possible.
Well, anyway, the rash on the leg has transferred to the testicle.
Thank you for sharing this.
So I messaged this to my dermatologist.
Yes.
Who, you know, he was the one that told me not to use a loofah as much. I'm starting to wonder now if any of the listeners actually give a fuck about my medical issues.
Oh, I do. I think so. Everybody wants to know about your testicles. I mean, people love to know about testicles and anuses. I was going to mention my anus. I was going to say that I had an itchy anus and I figured out why. And it's the reason that your butt issues is the same thing. And when you smoke weed, everything gets dried out, like your eyes, your mouth. You know, they talk about cotton mouth. I think there's something about anuses being itchy. There's a dryness there.
Yeah, I've had itchiness before.
From weed? Probably from can?
No. Not from weed. Just an itchiness. In fact, I went running this weekend and my whole ass started, I don't know what it happens. My whole ass gets such a burning sensation.
Wait, are you talking about your anal opening or
no.
You're just talking about
my entire ass cheeks down my legs start burning. Just complete, like, insane burning.
You know what
sensation.
That is?
What?
That is, like,
it's a nerve issue.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because sometimes if you get, like, you put that, like, a rotating massager on your back or something, and your back starts, like, burning and itching.
Okay, so what do I do about that shit?
Lube it up.
Yeah, that's
with Uber Lube.
Trust me, I fucking doused my body in Uber Lube before. I was, like, slick as fuck. I was scared my underwear was going to fall off me while I was running. And I'm burning, and I'm stopping, and I stop. It happens when I stop running. So I'll run for a while.
Oh, you don't feel it when you're running.
And then I'll stop, and then suddenly it's just like fire on my ass, and anyone around me will hear me go, ooh, 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 ah, ah, ah.
We had an extra.
Very strange to watch someone stop running and then hear, ooh, ooh, ah, ah.
What do people do? Just keep on running, or they just
I'm not making friends. I don't give a fuck what's going on.
So by the way, we had a listener ask a question about that. When I've asked, like, do you have any questions for this morning? After, they said something about a hairy ass.
Yeah. Did you shave your ass?
And I wonder why.
Was the question.
Why do they ask that? Did they know?
I mean, they know we're sponsored by Manscaped.
Wait, is it possible that person that you thought was not paying attention to you when you were running and heard you shouting, ooh, ooh, ah, ee, knew who you were and wrote in this question. Wondering if you had shaved your ass and you had a rug burn or something, a razor burn.
Yeah. Trust me, that ass is not shaved. It is hairy as can be.
I don't want to know about your hairy ass. You're talking about your whole ass is hairy?
I mean, there's some hair on there, yeah. I'm a Jewish man. There's going to be hair.
Wait, what does Jew have to do with anything?
The Jews are very hairy people.
You're not that hairy, by the way. Look at your face.
Yeah, I have a fair amount of ass hair. I remember being shamed for my ass hair when I was younger.
You have ass
by
hair?
By another Jew.
I know a Fuck Jew. That kid. I know a Jew that does not have a hairy ass.
Really?
Yeah.
You're talking about Deez?
Deez does not have a hairy ass. He's got a hairy chest, he doesn't have an ounce of hair on his ass.
I wouldn't say that I was probably like in the crack, like out right, around the anus. It's not like on the actual cheeks, you know what I'm saying?
I thought I'd talk about on the actual cheeks, which is I'm not going to yuck anybody's yum.
There's probably some there too. You want to check this? There's
no,
like little
do
hair.
Not check this out right now.
All
right. Now it's another visit to the doctor to find out if something's wrong.
I already asked. No, do you remember I asked the dermatologist about my itchy ass while running?
When you speak of ass, do you mean anus or your whole ass cheeks?
Okay, so we're talking about separate issues here.
Yeah, I'm talking about the anus.
You're talking about the itchy anus hole. Yes. I'm talking about the itchy ass cheeks, and we're talking about hairy ass hole or anus or cheeks. So there's a lot of miscommunication going on.
Change your name instead of sex talk with my mom. It should be
ass talk with my mom.
Ass talk with my mom. Oh my God.
I was not, no, Erica, I was not wearing a thong running shorts. Although that's a good look that I think that's a good clown look. Megan is recommending assless chaps. It's the only solution. I completely agree. AJ also says assless chaps most like.
Where do you buy assless chaps? In like a S&M store? Like, I've seen like leather ones.
Yeah. Stock room. You can Halloween stores. Oh, yeah. Tons of places you can buy assless chaps. You know, online,
all
Amazon,
right. All right,
assless
I get the
chaps.
Idea that you can get assless chaps everywhere.
I think it is a nerve issue. I think that's what Lisa recommended a Western store.
Go in there.
Mr. Bean recommended a crotchless thong.
What is a crotchless thong for a guy?
Dick is popping out of that thing.
Wait,
you got that
Mr. Bean, can you call in and we have to talk about anuses with you.
What? You did. We did get a question about from Mr. Bean actually this week about what was your fucking question? You said something. But we said what topics would you like to discuss? And you wrote the sheep are gone now. What do I do now? Result to pop rocks or get on my knees? What the fuck is going on there? Did you catch that? The sheep are gone.
Yeah.
Does he result to pop rocks or getting on his knees?
Okay. Well. Okay. I know. I think I understand what that means. Pop rocks.
is what he likes to put in his
asshole.
He
likes to put that in his.
By the way, I went to a candy store this past weekend and I didn't buy anything, but I saw the Pop Rocks and thought,
thought about
you.
Him.
I thought about Mr. Bean.
And
I
then,
hope you're
or
happy
on
about
his
that.
Knees means that he should get ready to like give blowjobs.
I think so. So I think his potential sexual exploits are fucking sheep, putting Pop Rocks in his asshole,
giving
or
head.
Sucking a sucking dick.
Sucking, no, not a sheep though, because they're gone.
Yeah.
All right.
He's on. You want to talk to him or no?
Oh yeah, we gotta talk.
You gotta put in your headphones.
I'm putting in my headphones.
Oh, Bean, it's been too long.
Mr. Bean?
I know. I'm getting old. Those sheep have ran, man. They're frozen out there in the tundra.
Is it cold out there in Maine?
Yeah. I'm getting a set of blue balls for Christmas.
he said he's getting blue balls for Christmas.
That's right. Do you get any sexy Christmas gifts over there?
Yeah, I did. I got the assless, crotchless thongs there. And
if you have an assless, crotchless thong, does that mean it's just like a band around your waist? What is that?
I think it is what you just said, yeah.
It's like a band around your waist. And you're naked out there and it's freezing cold. And you're
looking for sheep.
And you're looking for some sheep and you're down on your knees.
Yeah, hey, I learned a lot, man. That lady's almost as good as Sid Wilder.
Oh, you like that
humiliatrix. Funny, but this lady with the dominatrix, yeah, exactly. Instead of running, the sheep have probably ran because I've been saying, you know, I'm going to squeal like a pig out there.
Squeal like a pig from Deliverance?
Mr. Bean is on today.
I don't know, man. I think I'm off a little bit.
No, you're definitely on. You're always on. So, Mr. Bean, where are those sheep right now?
Not out in the field.
You don't bring them inside your home?
No, hell no.
Hell no, you wouldn't be able to leave the house.
Yeah, so like in Maine here, they go from sheep breeding to inbreeding. So like during the summer, they go for the sheep, and then during the wintertime, it's inbreeding.
Oh my God!
So my mother has, oh yeah, like all. Like,
you just said my brother and mother are coming. Oh, I think we got a poor connection with you, unfortunately.
Yeah. All right.
Well, we love talking with you.
Love talking to you. Keep those Pop Rocks coming.
My brother, mother, cousin's coming.
Hope you have a wonderful Christmas with your brother, mother, cousin.
And I hope everybody keep coming.
We love you, Mr. Bean.
We do.
Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah to you.
Take care, kids.
Take care. He makes my day. Every time.
All right. Me too. Anyway, you just like talking about sheep.
Our whole CastBox community is talking about how Lisa might be getting a German Shepherd. Erica wants a Schnauzer. These are, you know, it's interesting that people get pets for holiday presents.
You know what I was thinking? When I had two dogs, I had Yogi. He was very mellow and chill, very confident dog. And now, and I have Gus, who's the complete opposite. He's completely anxious and neurotic and not particularly fond of other dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that dogs take on the personality traits of their owners?
Oh, 100%. And I'm also wondering if the acid reflux is coming. Somehow, why do the owners always look like the dogs?
They look and act like dogs. What,
you think that they just get dogs that look like them, well, or they start looking like the dogs after a while?
I think the dog, our dog Gus, is taking after you.
What?
He's got one eye that works.
Mom.
And he's anxious as fuck.
Mom, I'm not anxious as fuck.
But I am.
No. It's taking after you.
First of all, how could you say you're not anxious as fuck?
I'm not anxious. I listen to Thich Nhat Hanh's Art of Mindful Living, and I'm no longer anxious.
Okay. Was it not less than a week ago that you went to the doctor and thought you had?
I wasn't through Thich Nhat Hanh's The Art of Mindful Living.
Which I just found out Thich Nhat Hanh happens to be a Libra.
Oh, isn't that nice? For those who are just tuning in, I fucking love Thich Nhat Hanh. He's a Vietnamese monk, 93 years old, lives in France. I need to visit this man.
Yeah, Cam is obsessed with Thich Nhat Hanh. I just like saying Thich Nhat Hanh. And I think you're obsessed with him because he takes pleasure in the little things in life.
Love it. I put this thing on for you yesterday, one of the chapters on for my mother,
and death.
What were your thoughts on that?
I actually liked some of the things he was saying. The part that I could understand. He has a very strong Vietnamese accent, so I had to have translations
by me.
By you,
yeah.
Who learned to speak
Thich Nhat Hanh.
Thich Nhat Hanh language.
Yes, I thought it was wonderful. Though in the part where he's looking at the leaf and he's falling in love with the leaf and he sees the leaves and talking to the leaf. Those are things I like to do.
I know. I just...
You weren't feeling it as much.
It's not that I wasn't feeling it that much, but I just thought I can't really buy into a lot of that.
What do you mean you can't buy into a lot of it? Like, he's using it as philosophy. He's not actually having a fucking conversation with the goddamn tree.
He's talking about a leaf that should be happy that it lived to provide nourishment to the tree and should be happy that it's dying because it's always be part of a tree. Which is it right?
That's exactly right.
And I understand that to some extent, but
That's not enough for me. I don't care that I'm just going back into the earth and replenishing the earth. And
yeah, I wanted a little more than that.
What about the fact that you're part of your kids?
I think that's nice, but what if you don't have kids? That means you don't.
Well, that's what we discussed yesterday when we discovered that I'm going to be asexual and solo the rest of my life.
Because you're trying to beat Thich Nhat Hanh, who is a monk.
I'm not necessarily trying to take after that quality of his. I just have a feel. Being in relationships requires an incredible amount of emotional work, and it can be for a sensitive person. It can be extremely painful.
I mean, so you're saying this is where you're at.
So I'm very, very resistant or hesitant to get into a relationship.
Okay, and what are your thoughts on this?
I don't like that.
You don't like what?
It's very lonely.
So you're saying, although you want a relationship, you're very hesitant to get involved in the relationship.
If I'm not certain it's the right one.
Right.
I'm reading a book right now called Intimate Partners by Maggie Scarf. I didn't tell you this.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, did. You sent me a picture of that. I would like the cliff notes.
So far, what I've read is one trend that she basically researched a ton of married couples. And she found that one of the trends that runs through a lot of these couples is that the quality that first attracted the partners together. So say...
Me and D's weed?
No, the other in the other person. So say D's gregariousness or, you know, his ability to talk to people. Eventually, those qualities somehow become what the partner dislikes most about the other person.
I can see that.
Yeah.
It's very annoying.
So instead of seeing them as, oh, he's so gregarious and fun to be around, you start seeing him as, oh my fucking God, he doesn't shut his yapper.
I'm glad. This is what you were thinking about when you were reading the book?
No, I was just giving you an example that you can relate to. I'm not thinking about you.
I can relate to that to some extent, but sometimes I think it's fun to have someone that, you know, can talk to anybody.
So that's where I'm at in the book.
If you're in a rush, it's annoying.
That's where
if
I'm
you're trying to
right
get
now
to Trader Joe's and he's talking to everyone down the street that somehow he knows, it is annoying. However, it is very good when you want to meet new people because there's always new people to meet when you're with D's.
Yeah, so that's very sweet.
So it's not an all or nothing thing.
But why do you think that is? It's always the double-edged sword.
I have no idea. I think you should keep reading and fill me in.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Bryson's birthday was 2 weeks ago. A happy birthday to Bryson.
Happy birthday, sweetheart.
Lisa said, my last person I broke up with because the thing that attracted me to them made me hate them in the end. Look at that.
There you go. That book says it all.
She also said that I'm going to be a good man for someone one day.
Well, let me ask you something. What? So if what you're, say you're attracted to someone who's very quiet, then in the end, you are completely bored with that person. It's really quiet.
Yeah, they talk about that.
So basically, this book is saying, whatever you're attracted to, you're going to end up hating. So why bother getting involved with a relationship?
No, they didn't say that. They just recognize this as a trend. And probably the solution is to then read the second book, which is Thich Nhat Hanh's The Art of Mindful Living, so that you can get back in touch with what you like about the person. Ho, 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 you naughty little reindeers.
You know what you do when you've got a hairy, itchy anus?
What?
You use some products from Manscaped.
Oh, I guess you could use the little electric trimmer on that ass.
Especially the Lawnmower 2.0 because it's waterproof, USB compatible. It's a redesigning the electric trimmer.
It has skin-safe technology. I've used it. It does not nick or snag my nuts. I've even gifted it to my brother because I enjoyed it so much. Not the one I used.
I was going to say, that's very nice of you, though.
Yeah, it was a nice little gift. And I recommend you guys give this to your lover, your partner.
It's a great idea, because what more would you want? And you don't want to use the same products on your face that you do down below.
And they got products, not just the electric trimmer. They got a crop preserver, a crop reviver. These things will make your balls smell fresh and feel clean.
Like a daisy.
Like a flower. Here's what we can say this wonderful holiday season. Stay sexy and get 20% off plus free shipping with the code MOMTALK, M-O-M-T-A-L-K, at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use promo code MOMTALK.
So if you're thinking of what can I give him that's different than a typical sweater, get him some products from Manscaped.
And remove his downstairs sweater.
Oh.
I wanted to talk about a little situation we had yesterday.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
You want to explain what it was?
Yeah, the fact that you were MIA for over 8 hours and you have it. You are a monk. So if you are in fear of a monk's life, there's no way you can find where that monk is.
Okay. So I told my mother.
When did you tell me?
We have an event at 7 o'clock.
Yes.
And I have a prior commitment up until 6 o'clock, but in one ear, out the other.
Yes. You have to make sure when you tell me things like that, that that I'm currently listening. I might have been doing the dishes, not paying attention. I just heard, I'll see you at 7 o'clock.
Well, I texted you at 10 a.m. that day. You texted me saying, Bears game in 10, anyone coming over to the whole family?
Yeah.
I said, mime class in 10.
Yeah, mime class at 10 o'clock.
Mime, M-I-M-E.
M-I-M-E. So yes. not at all surprising, because you take mime classes now and then, and I'd never heard of one lasting more than an hour.
Well, this one lasted 8 hours long.
Okay,
it was an 8-hour mime class, and I swear to God, my body feels so sore today.
From miming for 8 hours?
Yes.
Okay.
It was an incredible amount of concentration. My body feels completely depleted. By the way, I could see myself becoming my mime teacher.
Oh my God. Okay. Let's stay on task.
Okay.
The point is that you had a mime class yesterday for 10 hours.
Eight.
8 hours.
Yeah. And I got out at 6.
And you kept your phone off. Not only off, but you
It's a mime class. You're not supposed to be using your words.
Okay.
So the phone was on airplane mode.
Airplane? I thought you put it on Do Not Disturb, and that on the Do Not Disturb, which is supposed to ring twice, then the third time, you will pick up because you'll know it's an emergency.
No. I'm not picking up any emergency calls when I'm in mime class.
All right. So my anxious brain, after calling and texting several times from 5 o'clock on, had determined that you were in your apartment and you failed to wake up.
Dead as a doornail.
Dead.
Why?
Because you don't have internet in your apartment.
I literally texted you saying
I'm going
to
mime class.
I don't
have the key to your apartment. I don't even remember. I don't know where your apartment is, by the way. I don't even know if I have your address.
You literally have my keys in the bowl outside this door.
I forgot that you had given it to me.
All right.
And I don't have a car to get to your place. So my mind immediately went down the rabbit hole. Does anybody else?
I know there are other people with the rabbit hole.
I know other people can relate to the fact that if you haven't heard from someone and you know that they're very responsible and you know you're leaving in 15 minutes and you still have not heard from that person, you might think that after not hearing from them all day that they might be dead.
Yeah. I've run into this problem.
With who, me?
I've thought you were dead several times. When I come into the apartment, you're nowhere to be found? Oh, yeah. Dead. Immediately dead.
So I'm not that nuts.
No, you're nuts.
Okay.
No. It was a hard situation for me to be in, because I come out of the mime class completely exhausted, depleted of everything. I barely ate anything during the mime class. No food allowed in there.
Well, what are they doing to you over there?
We're just miming around.
Miming around.
It was mime for.
That sounds so fun. I wish I could mime around for 8 hours without eating. And you paid for this class.
Yeah, so it was mime for motion capture. So I was learning how to do motion capture acting.
It sounds like such a fun thing to do. I just wish I could take the mime class.
You would have hated this.
I don't like anything where I have to be silent for more than 5 minutes. Today you told me not to talk to you because you're trying to eat your food and in a mindful way.
I don't know how I could be mindful with anything when I have you jibber jabbering. You're the only thing to be mindful with because you take up all of my senses when you're around.
I'm so sorry. How do I take up your sense of smell?
I mean, your anus.
But you don't smell my anus.
I don't know.
What the hell is that supposed to be?
You take up my field of vision usually.
Okay.
And ears a lot. Anyway,
people are asking for more book recommendations from you, not from me. From you.
Yeah, I mean, AJ, I can talk to you. Well, why don't we text about this? Because
no, let everybody know your book recs.
But, well, I want it to be particular. Like, I don't know. AJ might like fantasy, like The Alchemist, in which case I'm not going to necessarily recommend Thich Nhat Hanh's The Art of Mindful Living.
You will recommend The Art of Mindful Living to anyone.
I just finished it. I'm re-listening. I think I'm going to re-listen to it immediately.
Oh, my God. So if anybody has a way that also, you could connect Cam to Thich Nhat Hanh, please let him know it. Yes, text mom. By the way, we don't know if Thich Nhat Hanh is alive.
No, I looked it up. He's alive. 93. Live in Plum Village, France. Okay. Megan says, being mindful.
And being mindful.
I like that a lot.
I wonder if that's a thing.
Being mindful?
Hashtag mindful.
Mindful. Fully mindful. Honestly, the reason I like mindfulness and the reason I like miming are very similar. It puts you in the present moment.
That's nice. That's what Phil Jackson said about basketball. That's another book you could recommend.
The 11 Rings.
I recommended that to you a long time ago.
Yep.
I would also like to recommend a couple books for those of you who want to do me beyond fiction. One would be The 5-Second Rule.
Oh, surprise,
by Mel Robbins.
Yeah.
5-4-3-2-1, act. And the second book I recommend is The 4 Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz, which the 4 Agreements basically are, do you know what they are?
Yeah, I know what they are. You recite them nonstop.
Be impeccable to your word. Don't take anything personally. Don't assume anything. And always do your best.
It's very lovely.
You don't have to read the book now. I just told you the essence of it.
We're also doing the morning pages from The Artist's Way.
Oh, so I read the first chapter of The Artist's Way. That is a long-ass chapter to get through. I think I'm done with the book. But I am going to do... I started doing the morning pages every day. And I have a fear about my morning pages. The idea of morning pages is that you just write for 10 minutes straight...
Three pages. Where'd you get 10 minutes?
I don't know. I thought I read 10 minutes.
No.
Maybe you told me 10 minutes.
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay.
You made that shit up because it's shorter than the 3 pages.
Yeah, I only do 2 pages.
Surprise, surprise.
Okay, but
That's how I started. Now I'm up to 3.
Okay, so in the 2 pages, and I set the alarm for 10 minutes, and sometimes I go a little over. But the point is that in those pages of the morning journal, I'm like... You know when you're scuba diving and you have a regulator and it free flows?
Yeah.
That's what it's like. The stuff that's coming down on the pages is just jibber-jabber. You think it's jibber. It's complete
gobbledygook.
Jibber. It's such gobbledygook. It's like unbelievable what's coming out onto the pages.
Yeah, it's great.
You like that.
It's perfect. It's a phenomenal way to get your unconscious out. All those feelings that you're holding in, get it out.
And that's, I guess, the first chapter is about how it helps creativity when you can get all the other nonsense out so you can just focus on what you want to do.
100%.
So I do feel it's valuable. And I have done it for I didn't do it yesterday because the Bears game was on. But if the Bears game was not on, I would have done it.
It's great.
I don't even want to talk about the Bears game. Okay.
All right. We're not going to go there.
It was a sad story with the Green Bay Packers. It was their 200th meeting.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, but big rivalries. And I don't like to see those guys with a big hunk of cheese on their head. Who would do that?
We're not going to go there.
All right, but I'm just talking about the fans. Who would willingly go to a football stadium with a big wedge of cheese on your head? And any self-respecting person would not do that.
If you lived in that era, you would do that.
No, I would not.
A big hunk of cheese?
You would walk around with a big, big...
I am ready to do that now. And I'm not a Green Bay Packer fan at all.
Because you think it's a funny clown-like bit. But that's not why they're serious. These are big, serious men with faces that are like football. intense football fans. And they got a big hunk of cheese on their head, usually with Swiss holes and things like that. It's just mortifying that somebody actually walks around with a big cheese. How can you be a fan of a cheese head?
I like this.
Like the Bears. You have them dressed either as Mike Ditka or they're dressed as Bears. And that's cute. Or ferocious.
Are they called the Packers because they're packing cheese?
Green Bay Packers. I forgot why they are.
All right.
They're right. Yes, text mom if you know if you know why they're called the Packers.
Lisa asks, how did you get into mime, Cam? I used to be in a mime troupe in high school. Oh, hell yes. If my high school had a mime troupe, I would be so fucking into that.
Well, he was always interested in, this Lisa, he was always interested in comedy, though. He was in a lot of different comedy groups at high school and college. I'm speaking for you.
Yeah, can I speak for myself on this?
The mime part is questionable.
The mime part is mainly because someone around me takes up all my words and all the space in the conversation. So I have to learn how to express myself through physicality.
No.
Yes.
You're telling me it's my fault, just like everything else, that you became a mime. Just like
it wouldn't be a fault. It would be a fucking gift that you gave me by becoming a mime.
You're welcome.
You were not responsible for it. I went to clown school and we had one class. It was a daily clown school. It was first year of clown, which includes acrobatics, mask work, mime work, game playing, some other shit I can't remember.
So far, I'm one for the four.
You what? Which one? Games?
Games.
Yeah, I knew you'd like the
games.
But
the rest of the stuff, no. No acrobatics.
Everyone in the school, not everyone, most of the people hated mime class. It's essentially like a study of the body.
It's also like silent meditation, which I hate as well.
And so that's why I love it. And it was very evident that I excelled, mainly because I was the only one interested in it. And it was one of those, you know, self-fulfilling prophecies or those looping feedback loop.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm the only one interested in mime. I'm the only one doing mime. I become the best at mime. And then I get praise for mime. And then I do it again. And I do. And I became an excellent mime.
It's a whole snowball mime effect.
Do you know, I might, starting in January, I might be doing a mime class. I think it starts at 8:30 p.m. on Saturday nights.
Sounds
fun. It's a 2-hour, 8:30 to 10:30 p.m. on Saturday nights.
I can't think of anything I'd want to do more than that.
I don't know how I'm going to have any social life.
Maybe you'll meet some other mimes.
There's only three other...
This might be the answer. A female mime, you don't have to worry about the intimacy thing because there's no speech. So you don't know what the hell she's thinking. She could be thinking the craziest, murderous, and ridiculous thoughts. And you'd be like, oh, she's a mime, so it's great.
I'm so down for this.
It's perfect.
There's only three other people in the class.
I wonder why. What other wackadoodles are on a Saturday night taking a 2-hour mime class?
Yeah.
It sounds horrible.
AJ wants to know, how did you find clown school?
That's another good question, AJ.
This is I have always found, you know, when I moved out to LA, I started taking schools at all these places. What's going on with you? She's doing a lot of undressing right now. What the fuck is going on?
We have the O-ring going on and it's hot, so I'm taking my sweatshirt off.
Okay, I'll explain then. So I basically started studying improv at like the Groundlings, and then I moved to another improv school, and then I was like, I don't like improv as much as I like when it's written. So then I started doing sketch comedy with a sketch group, and then I decided, well, it's not capturing my silliness as much as I'd like to, so I started doing stand-up, and stand-up was great and that's where I started talking about your book, but it was too cerebral, not silly enough, and then finally, I took a clown class, which blew my fucking mind.
Why?
Because it allows you to get in touch with the inner child, to be extremely mindful.
Mindful. Okay, what are you doing when you're clowning?
You're entirely present with the audience. And if you say, if you suggest something that doesn't get a laugh, you have to acknowledge it and figure out how to make them laugh.
It's
like swinging for the fences.
I see it.
You don't give a fuck.
No.
No. Okay. Anyway, we can move right along. We had a lot of listener questions. I was going to go through Thich Nhat Hanh's hugging meditation.
No, we're going to pass on that for now.
I think it would help a lot of people, but I did like what you wrote.
While we were preparing for this, I just happened to come across something that you wrote. And here it goes. It's just sitting here in our studio, and it says telephone/podcast meditation.
He calls it a telephone meditation, but I think it applies to podcasts as well.
Who is he? Thich Nhat Hanh again?
Yes.
Okay. Words can travel thousands of miles. They are to build up more mutual acceptance and understanding. I vow that my words will be like gems. I vow that my words will be fresh like flowers.
You make me sound so corny by reading that.
All right,
that
the fresh like flowers part is really corny, but the other part I can buy into.
I like the fresh like flowers.
So do you feel like so far...
When you breathe in...
Do you feel so far that your words are like fresh like flowers?
Today?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think particularly when I was talking about my itchy anus when I run, that was... You used breath spraying. So, what are you doing? Don't give me a breath spray. My mouth is fresh like a flower right now. Okay, can we listen? Can we do a little some listener questions?
Yes, I'd love it.
Okay. So we had one who asked, any topics... How do you handle when your partner's kink isn't yours, or if it's a total turnoff? Maybe you weren't aware of the kink until further into the relationship, but otherwise love them. Very interesting question.
Yes, it is.
Do you have an answer for that?
What happens if your kink ain't his kink?
You're in a relationship with someone, and you discover a kink of theirs that you, like really they doesn't
like to,
work for you.
Like they want to get inside your pink panties with you?
Right. Did that happen to you?
No, but it happened to a friend of mine, and I remember thinking, oh boy, this sounds like a...
It wasn't for you.
No, it sounds very funny. The visual of my friend and this big guy in her pink panties.
I feel like it would rip the panties.
Yeah, first of all, I'd be pissed because someone's going to ruin my panties. But second of all, at first I was like, this is before I did this podcast and before I did my YouTube channel and before I learned all about people's fetishes and kinks and preferences and all that. I would judge that person because of it back in the day. Now I'm thinking, he likes to do that. I'll play. I'll go along with it.
Oh, really? You would just go along with it?
Yeah.
Oh, for their sake.
If they really like that, I'd do it. Yeah.
What if it's a humiliation thing?
I'm with a whack job. He can get into some role playing. I can get into role playing. So I think role playing is so fun during, you know, I actually recommended it to someone who said that they're really into married women. What do we do? I said, role play with the single women that they're married.
It's interesting. Your solution is basically like, well, just change your mindset if you can and think of this more as like a game. It might not turn you on,
yes,
but you can kind of play a character who would get turned on by this just for their sake.
You paraphrase that very well.
I like that, mother. I think that's good. I think we should move to the
next. If you have a kink, and if the kink is not going to affect you too much and it's something that you really like to do, like have both you guys dress up as like little puppies or something, just do it.
Just do it for them.
You might end up liking it.
I would love to hear what our listeners have to say. If you want to chime in on that one on CastBox or send us a text at Yes Text Mom.
Absolutely.
I would love that. We had someone ask, millennials going on multiple dates. Is that a dying breed? People are always onto the next best thing.
I think that is the case, especially with so many options.
You know what? I realized...
Tinder, swipe left.
I have been on Hinge for like fucking forever, and I've met up with... I don't even know if I've ever met up. Maybe I met up with one person.
Okay.
So it's a waste of time, to be honest. And I realize a lot of... It's not that I get some matches... But then the actual process of setting up the date is a fucking nightmare. And so my friend gave me a shortcut.
What?
He's like, this is how you should play the game. This is a hack for the game.
What?
Of Hinge.
What?
Start off the fucking conversation. You match, you say, hey, you seem like a really cool person. I like that you're into this. Do you want to grab coffee sometime?
Well, what else would you have done?
You start a conversation with like a witty phrase of like, oh, you like potatoes, I like tomatoes.
All right, this is why you've not gone on any dates, because you started out with
it's something related to their profile.
About tomatoes.
No, I'm
potatoes.
Not saying that, but I'm this saying
the bad idea.
No, I'm saying you something relevant to their profile, and then you start this back and forth that goes to nowhere.
It
goes right into the ground. So you just fucking have to commit.
All the dating apps.
Just fucking get together.
Just base it on like one or two lines and then go for coffee.
And he was like, just do it in the first one. I thought that was a great idea. Yeah,
great idea. But there are too many options out there. I think that's what this person wrote in about. You know, there's just too many options. And it's so easy, even if you're in like a decent relationship, to say, oh, you know, maybe there's someone better out there. The grass is always greener.
Yeah.
Back to the honey drops. That's a song.
I'm so happy for you. By the way, I wanted to go back because someone... on Instagram had a very interesting comment with regard to what you were suggesting about what if your partner is into a fetish or kink that you're not into. This person said, just doing it for them is okay as long as you won't become resentful about it later. Unfortunately, I think it often leads to resentment. That makes a lot of fucking sense.
Yeah, why do you think it would lead to resentment?
Because if you're like just doing it and going through the motions for them.
Yeah.
I think it needs to be a mutual thing, you know?
Well, it may get mutual when you do it once or twice, but or you could just go in saying, listen, I'll do it a couple of times, but I'm not going to really want to do this all the time.
I meant it needs to be a mutual thing that you both are like putting in as much giving effort, you know, like, okay, so you're doing this for them.
All right, so I'm getting in your underpants. You got to run around like a little bunny.
Yeah, but I also don't like the tit for tat. I don't know. I think it's mainly just the mindset of like, yeah, it's a gift that I get to give you something.
Okay, Tig.
Tik Natan. Okay. Captain Megan says she's 28, poly. I've met more non-monogamous people here in Portland than monogamous.
What's going on in Portland?
You know, they're very open-minded.
I love Portland. Portlandia's.
We can't wait for our Portland show.
We're going to do our first live out-of-state show. We got to get to Portland.
Yeah. And we did. You know,
speaking of what, I'd like to take a temporary break from this conversation and say, if you guys like this podcast, share it with a friend, because it's such a great way to get our podcast out there. And if you don't share it with a friend, they don't know about us and they're missing out.
I love that. One great way to do that is by posting a story on Instagram. Thank you for everyone who's been doing that.
Yeah, we just got one. I saw that a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was so fun.
Show us where you're listening to this and tag us at Sex Talk with
My Mom.
All you
gotta do is take a picture of the dashboard when you're listening to it in your car.
So someone did ask, monogamous, and how difficult is it to stay this way?
Yeah, it is hard.
So it sounds like, yeah, I do think that this is
quite a trend.
I
was monogamous for 24 years. It's no picnic sometimes.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never had, for me, it's never been an issue, actually. Like,
you've been monogamous for 6 months, but when it's years and years and years, it gets to be a different story. Because I remember thinking, is this it? Is that all there is?
So how
friend?
Do you handle it?
You stay monogamous because you know that if you don't. I always think to myself, fantasy is way better than reality.
Oh, interesting.
Because that person's going to fart in bed too.
Well, if you're non-monogamous, you can kind of get the best of both worlds, it seems.
No.
Why?
To me, it's like I'd rather have someone who really knows my body, knows, you know, what I like and what I don't like, and knows my kinks and stuff like that.
Well, you could still have that.
You cannot have that with someone who's just like a one-night stand. Now,
well, yeah, but then...
Then that one-night stand turns into another relationship. So now you are like polyamorous type of thing. Or
what if it's just a one-night stand?
Then they don't know your body.
But then you get the novelty. Which is what was driving you to want to explore in the first place.
It's not the same for women, at least for my sake. I mean, you're not going to really be able to be so comfortable and relaxed and orgasmic just with the one time.
So your point is, even though you might think that it's going to be better with someone else,
nine times out of ten you've forgotten how shitty hooking up with a stranger is.
Yeah.
Exactly. Unless it's not a stranger, in which case you run into like, whoa, what if you have feelings for that person?
We had Tenaciously Sadie Mae saying, I've been sharing all over the place, which we're
very grateful for. Tenaciously.
She's been with her husband for 16 years.
So give us your tips on staying monogamous and not straying out of the commitment that you made.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like this is becoming, because there's these other alternative lifestyles that are becoming more and more popular, people become more open-minded to it, and it's becoming like more of an option than I think in prior generations it was. Like prior generations, you just assume, okay, the person I'm married to,
that's right,
I'm committed to, and that is going to be the end of the conversation. Even if we're having problems,
was back in the day for
me. What do you think?
In some respects, I think you have to, like, I remember talking to Dr. Nancy Sutton Pierce, who does these hedonism retreats. And she's like, before you go to hedonism as a couple, you have to be super, super strong as a couple.
Mm-hmm.
If your foundation's a little cracked, don't go over to hedonism.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I think before you'd enter into having other people in your relationship, you have to make sure that your relationship is super solid and strong. And I think that's hard in itself.
Mm-hmm.
So why add more complications to an already unsteady foundation? Building's going to topple.
Well, we've also talked to people like Multi-Amory Podcast about this.
Who are comfortable with that.
Who, in their situation, well, they had a couple different situations. But it sounds like it could be easier if you know that you have this desire for more of a polyamorous lifestyle. You find someone else who's also interested in poly.
Right, don't do it the other way around.
Although it could work. It's just more challenging.
Yeah, I'm just saying that... A lot of people are not as confident as those that maybe are comfortable in those situations. And even for those who are into polyamory and multi-amory and all that, they still get those feelings of jealousy or insecurity and all that. And I don't know about you. I don't want to deal with any of those feelings when I'm having sex. I just want to have my own little thing going and not worry about everybody else.
I'm looking for a thing. So we had another question. I want to discuss the different ways to open up in a relationship. Picking up someone else together, having affairs, etc. Interesting. Again, with the non-monogamy conversation.
I always, even when I was married, I remember thinking monogamy just seems like such a hard construct. It just doesn't even seem like it's normal because we're all, you know, the whole Coolidge effect. We're all animals. We all have this desire for variety. It's a spice of life. So I always felt that way. But then if you're really working hard in your own jobs or whatever, and you got kids and you got careers and you got all this other stuff going on, do you really have time for it, all these other things going on sexually too?
I would recommend, if people are interested in this conversation, we should definitely recommend them back to the Multi-Amory podcast episode that we did with them.
What number was it?
I don't. Who cares? You'll have to look for Multi-Amory in our library.
Library Multi-Amory.
So to get back to Tenaciously Sadie Mae, who has been thinking about sexting with someone else that's not my husband.
Okay. So who is this?
This is the person who was married for 16 years.
Yeah. You know what? Just be careful with that. I did something like that. I was not sexting, but I was having this like intimate discussion with a gay guy, actually, that I had met on like a cruise ship when I was married. And my husband was very hurt by this because it's a breach of your intimacy. So you just got to be very careful before you sext or do any of that. Because where do you draw the line then? You know, where do you draw the line? You know, I'm just talking about like, is it okay just to text other men that are your friends? Yeah, sure. Well, is it okay if that friend asks you what you're wearing?
Yeah, like, it could be an open dialogue.
So would you be like, if you're in a relationship with a woman and she's texting some other man about what she's wearing, like a nightgown or something, would that be cool?
I think it's very particular to the person I'm with and how far along in their relationship we are. A lot of different factors.
All right, say you're married.
You know, it's too hard. I'm telling you, it depends on the person I'm with, what it means, stuff like that. Oh, by the way, one other comment about this. Lisa says, even though me and my man go to swingers clubs to spice it up, even though we don't really swap.
A lot of people go to swingers club and just look around or have sex with each other and have people watch them look having sex.
Yeah, it reactivates that.
Yeah, that exhibitionist.
That energy.
Yeah.
I went to a fucking... like a burlesque show. I felt all that energy. A lot of these places can really tap something in. Dylan asks, how do you guys feel about a relationship failing due to pressure from a family member of one of the partners in said relationship? So say I were in a relationship with someone and you did not like this person. Should I just break up with this person?
No.
Oh.
It depends on why you don't like them. If you don't like them because they're being abusive or something, then it's a safety issue. Then I would think that's one thing. But if you don't like them because you just think that they, you know, are stupid and not worthy of your partner or whatever, or your friend or lover or mother. Or,
so you have to just consider their thoughts and why it's the case. And maybe it has some validity to it, as you're trying to say.
I don't even think you need to necessarily consider. You just have to be strong in your own feelings. Because I could tell you that when I started dating Deez, he was much younger. A lot of people were like, oh, you know, this is like a joke or whatever. And until I started really being like, well, no, this is a serious relationship. Nobody would take it seriously. So it's all depending on, you know, the only thing that matters is how you feel about the other person.
It is the key. Although it is hard when you know that a family member is not enjoying it.
Yeah.
Or not approving of it.
It is hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. On that note, we got more comments to get to, more questions that we'd love to answer. Unfortunately, we got to wrap it up.
No.
Yeah. I do want to say thank you to everyone who's left us iTunes reviews. It's super, super helpful. Wherever you listen to this, if you go on iTunes, leave us a review. It makes our day. I want to read one.
Please do.
Very sexy. 5 stars. Extremely educational. This is by Alex Cameron. Extremely educational on not only sex, but also relationships of all broads of the dating scale. I'm very glad I found this enlightened podcast. It's opened many doors for me in the dating world, and I feel comfortable using the tools I've gotten here and using them in the real world.
Lovely.
I'm glad this is helpful for you.
So
very good.
Yeah, that's great. And also, we have a lot of people that get special content that we don't put anywhere else on Patreon. So it's patreon.com/sextalkwithmymom.
Yeah, you can find a little bonus interview we did with the humiliatrix Sarah Lynch in there.
Oh, that's a good stuff,
all
too.
About her own sex life, which is pretty interesting.
Really good.
So thank you all for listening. We love you to the moon. And as always,
here we go. And let me tell you about the birds and the bees and the flowers and the trees and having some monogamy. That kind of works.
It did. I'm proud of you.
I'm shocked.
I'm shocked as well. Thanks for listening.